What I want to talk about this morning is the fact that, you know, have any of you ever felt like you were trapped? And what I mean by that is, like, you've hit a wall, or you feel like the enemy, for some reason, has the upper hand on you. He's got a foothold on something, and it's just like you're trapped, and you don't know how to get out of that trap. And so this morning, I want to talk to you how to get out of that trap and how to get to victory. Because sometimes we need to be reminded, and it's never complicated, but the enemy will try to get you to forget the simple keys for victory. And there's just two that I'm going to talk about this morning. But first, I want you to turn, if you have your Bibles, turn to Exodus chapter 14. That's where we're going to spend the majority of our time this morning, Exodus chapter 14. And we'll look at some other scriptures, but primarily you're just going to want to put a marker or something there because we're going to be staying pretty much in place right there. So let's begin, though, Exodus 14, verse 13. Exodus 14, verse 13. It says, Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see them again no more." Heavenly Father, as we get into this message this morning, I pray, God, that you would just give me the right words and the ability to communicate exactly what you want communicating. We pray, God, for your anointing on your word to penetrate our hearts and our minds, Lord, and help us, Lord, to be doers of the word and not just hearers of the word. In Jesus' name, amen. This is the story of Exodus in the book of Exodus. So this is when the Israelites are at the Red Sea and the Egyptian army is rapidly approaching them. Okay, now you talk about feeling trapped, right? You got this sea on one side and you have this enormous army, the strongest army in the world at the time, coming down upon you. And so that's where the Israelites, that's where Moses was. But I want you to think about this. Today, for many of you, could be your day of victory. It was going to be their day. Eventually, God was going to bring them victory. They didn't see it yet and how God was going to accomplish it, but he brought it. Today can be your day of victory. You might not see how it's possible. You might not see how God is ever going to get you out of the mess that you're in or maybe a family member's in, but nothing is impossible with God. He can bring a way, and usually it's a way that we'd never even thought about. But I believe that if the enemy's been plaguing your life, if he's been nipping at your heels, you know, trying to ride your back, breathing down your neck, whatever, trying to make your life miserable, this could be the day that God gets him off your back. This could be the day that he delivers you, that he gives you the answer, that he gives you exactly what you need to have victory over the enemy today. So no matter what it is, it could be, I mean, think about what, let's look at this verse. Look at the same verse. It says, it talks about the salvation of the Lord. He was going to show it today. He will accomplish for you today, okay? For the Egyptians over whom you see today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Egyptians, that is a picture of the enemy coming against the people of God. And we have an enemy. Do you know you have an enemy that wants to destroy you, wants to kill you, wants to steal your joy, steal what you have? We have a real enemy. And sometimes it feels like he is bearing down on us, and we don't know what to do about it. But so I don't know what for you your Egyptians are today. Maybe it's a disease. Maybe it's sickness. Maybe it's a financial trouble. Maybe it's family strife and turmoil. Maybe it's people trying, you know, just cause you problems at your job or in your business, attacking your family. Maybe it's an addiction that you have tried and you've prayed to be released from and to be an overcomer of, but it hasn't happened yet. Whatever it is, I believe with just two keys that we're going to talk about, today could be the day of victory. the day that you're delivered, the day that the answer comes. And so how many of you know that the devil is opposed to you having victory? The devil is opposed to you having victory. If you're married, the devil's opposed to you and your spouse having victory, to your family having victory. He's opposed to this church having victory, this nation, right? He doesn't want God to have victory through his people. And so he does all these things to try to prevent that, all these schemes and everything. But how many of you know that even though the enemy, the devil, has come to steal, kill, and destroy, Jesus has come to give us life. And life abundantly, life to the fullest. So it's really a decision on who we're going to listen to and who we're going to allow to have control. Who are we going to, what are we going to feed on? All of the bad stuff that might be happening and just focus on that stuff. Or focus on what God can do and what he has done. Do you ever just take a few minutes in your day when you are starting to feel overwhelmed and just say, okay, I'm done thinking about that stuff. I'm going to think about all the things God has done in my life. All the blessings that he's done. And you know what? All the times that God has delivered you from something, out of something, through something. And if he's done it then, why would he stop now? Why would he stop now? He's delivered you, rescued you, saved you. Why is he going to stop now? So there must be a reason we're going through whatever it is we're going through. What are we supposed to learn something? Sometimes we go through it so then we can be a blessing to someone else that's going through the same situation so we can encourage them and say, you know what, I went through something like that. God will get you through this, and I will be there with you to pray with you, to support you, to encourage you through this whole mess, whatever it is. And so the children of Israel, after they're thrust out of Egypt, right, they're going, Pharaoh then decides, well, he's made a mistake by letting the Israelites go, and he wants them back. So now he's in hot pursuit of all these people that had just left his nation. And in verse 3, this is what it says, in verse 3 of chapter 14, for Pharaoh will say to the children of Israel, they are bewildered by the land. The wilderness has closed them in, right? He's saying, I've got them right where I want them. They're trapped. I've got them where I want them. There's nowhere else for them to go. I've got them right where I want them. And the enemy, sometimes we're going through stuff, and I know he thinks that. I've got him right where I want him. Now, most of the time when you hear those words, it's because somebody believes they do have someone trapped. They have someone surrounded or hedged in. There's no escape because they believe they have the upper hand. Somehow the enemy, no matter how many times he's defeated, he still thinks he can get the upper hand. And sometimes he can only do that if you let him. He can only get the upper hand on a child of God, on a Christian, if we let him. If he can't deceive us, he can't defeat us. So it is a battlefield of the mind. And that's where the attacks come. They had come with doubting God's word or doubting his goodness or doubting that, well, maybe this is the time that, you know, where is God? Well, why isn't he doing something? All these doubts that flood our minds and cause us stress and we don't get sleep and we're constantly worried and stressed out about things. And so that is what Pharaoh's thinking. I've got them. There's no way they can escape. Now, how many times have you been in a place where it seems like everything is against you? Everything is against you. You look around for help, there doesn't seem to be any help coming, and it feels like you're surrounded by the enemy, and he's coming at you from every side, and you maybe even in a way you hear Satan's sinister voice in your mind mocking you, and laughing at you, right, with an attitude of arrogance and self-assurance, and he's saying, now I got you right where I want you. And I think if we're all honest, we've all been there. We've all had those times where we felt that way. And I'm probably talking to people right now today that feel that way right now. But let me just tell you, things are not always as they appear. We walk by faith, not by sight. right? We can see all the problems in this nation. We can see all the problems in our own lives. But where are we seeing with eyes of faith, or are we seeing with the eyes that the enemy wants us to see with? There's more than meets the eye. So I want you to know that when we feel like we're in that kind of situation, it's a setup. God is setting a trap. And I'll explain what I mean as we go get a little bit deeper into this message. What looks like the worst circumstances you've ever faced, God is going to, I believe, he's getting ready to thrust you into a new level of understanding, a new level of anointing, or a new level of faith and or power beyond anything you've experienced before. Because that's the experience I've had. It's like every time I feel overwhelmed and like, I don't know what's going on. This isn't working. This person's causing me all kinds of problems. It's right before breakthrough comes. God has a plan. And I think for me personally, maybe not for you, but I know for me personally, when I feel that way, it's right. God has something greater in store. But there's a battle that needs to be fought to reach that next level. And how we respond. We watched an excellent message. I don't know how many of you ever heard of Robert Morris, but he's a pastor in Texas. Great teacher of the word. And we watched a great message this week in our prayer time, prayer week. And one of the things that really stuck out to me is we have no control over other people's actions or reactions. All we have control of is how we act, how we react to things. And it's like he used this analogy of like God has like a tube that is just over us, and he's watching us. And so when somebody does something against us, says something against us, and we say, Lord, did you see what they said? He's like, no, I didn't see it. I'm only watching you and how you respond. I'm not watching that. I'm watching you. That made me think, especially yesterday, because then I had to think, uh-oh, if God was watching me yesterday morning, he probably didn't see something that I'm very proud of for him to see. Because we do get in these predicaments and things where we get so frustrated, right? And but we have to come back to, okay, if God's just watching me, why? He wants to teach us something. And sometimes in those difficult situations, we learn something about ourselves. Where are we in our walk with him? How do we respond? Do we respond with love and grace to people, forgiveness, or do we walk and just respond out of, you know, whatever the emotion is that we're feeling at the time? So, now I know it sounds crazy, but I also look at enemies and difficult situations like in a way, it's with thanksgiving, right? Isn't that what we're told? Don't be anxious about anything, but with everything through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. With thanksgiving, can you thank your enemies? Can you thank that you're in a difficult situation? Because I think sometimes, and I know it sounds counterintuitive, but sometimes those enemies God is using to push you to where he wants you to be. He uses them to push you where you need to be in your faith, in your understanding of what he's doing in your life. And I know I wouldn't be where I am without my enemies throughout my life. I know I wouldn't be here without all the disappointments and the tough things that I've gone through or my family's gone through. God has a plan. I've talked about this before. He has a plan. And to get you to that plan, sometimes we go through difficult situations. And then we get upset sometimes that we go through the difficult situations. But God has either allowed you to go in there, into that situation, or he's placed you there. But there's a reason. Nothing happens by accident. There's a purpose. There's a reason. So the first key, if you're taking notes, the first thing I want you to write down is, the first key to victory is don't give up. A lot of Christians, it seems like they give up. They give up. They stop fighting. They stop standing for truth or whatever the case may be. I just believe you don't give up. You're on the edge of a miracle. You're on the edge of a miracle. And again, God did not bring you to this point to just leave you by yourself right now. He did not bring you to where you are to just abandon you. He didn't call you out on the water to let you drown. He didn't bring you out of the bondage and the slavery of Egypt, which to us is the Satan's kingdom, out of darkness. He did not bring us out of darkness into light, right? Bring us out of the kingdom of Satan to now let Satan devour you. He did not deliver you from all that just to allow the enemy to defeat you now. That's not what he does. So in our scripture, what we're reading, the children of Israel, they found themselves in this predicament. This is a bad situation. They felt like it was some kind of trap. And I know that we're people of faith, right? We're people of faith, but let's be honest about this. We've all been in those situations. We've all found ourselves in some kind of situation. We didn't know how we're going to get out of it. We didn't know what to do. We cried out for wisdom. It didn't seem like wisdom came. But sometimes, though, we're there because of foolishness on our part. I know I've been in a lot of situations because of something dumb that I've did, something dumb I've said, right? Or wrong choices, wrong actions, associating with the wrong people. That was a huge problem for me when I still lived in California, associating with the wrong people. We make mistakes. We do wrong things. And sometimes it gets us into these situations. But you know what? Sometimes it really is just the devil that's trying to destroy us, steal our, you know, what God has blessed us with and kill us because he hates us. He hates us and he wants to destroy our lives. He wants to destroy you physically through sickness and disease. He wants to destroy you emotionally, get you depressed, get you full of anxiety and worry all the time. He wants to destroy you financially. He wants to destroy your marriage, your family relationships with your kids, with your grandkids. We know the devil comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. And maybe you feel like you're in that place right now. You know, and the temptation is, when we feel like we're in that place, to respond just like the children of Israel. Now, how did they respond? Murmuring, complaining, grumbling, right? Looking backwards to how great things used to be, you know, even though they weren't that great. But looking back, like, oh, there was, you know, things were so nice back years ago. And, you know, some people even begin to blame God. That God has not made their life easy. And they start calling his love into question. And, you know, why are you allowing me to struggle and suffer? But I want to remind you, you got to remember this, it's a setup. God is setting, he's creating a setup. Now, I believe when we're in those circumstances, do you cry out to God? Right? Have you ever cried out to God? Have you ever been alone and just cried out to God? Just cried out to him for deliverance, you know, for help? And then it seems like you take a step forward, but not in a positive. It seems like things go from bad to worse, to an impossible situation. You know that God loves to intervene in impossible situations. When you feel like there's no way. And I've been through several of those where I thought, there's no way. But then God made a way. God makes a way. He will make a way. If you don't give up, I'm going to get to number two. But the first thing, don't give up. Don't give up. Keep going forward. Because the trap that God is setting is not for you. The trap that he's setting is for your enemies. He's setting a trap. You know, he's letting your enemies think that you are trapped. He's letting your enemies see you cry, see you get you know, upset even, and see your pain, see your struggle. Why? Why is he allowing them to see that? So that they will get in the trap. So that they'll think they have the upper hand, just like Pharaoh. But God was preparing a trap. So I believe God, this morning even, is getting ready to take care of your enemies. That he's been waiting to use this situation that you're in right now, this dilemma, the storm that you're in. He's drawing your enemies together. to draw them out of hiding. You know, some of those enemies that used to just whisper behind your back, maybe they're confronting you face to face right now. And maybe, but God's drawing them out of the dark into the light so you can see what's going on. And then God is turning that light on and he's uncovering them. And God's going to pull them out of their hiding places. And I believe he can take care of them once and for all. Now, back to the story in Exodus. Think of what the Israelites saw. This sea in front of them. They had no way of crossing on their own. And behind them, they see this massive army coming against them. That's pretty... You talk about being a rock in a hard place, right? What are you going to do, Moses? Right? That's what they're saying. Moses, you know, did you just bring us out here just to kill us? Now, I mean, that's like a constant thing that he kept hearing. And so you got all these chariots of Egypt, 600 chosen chariots and captains, every one of them, all the chariots, all the horsemen of Egypt, and they're coming down on Israel. And then God parts the sea. And Israel starts going across. And so does the Egyptian army. But it's a trap. It's a trap. And they don't realize it at the time. And so they follow Israel into the midst of the sea because they still think they're going to have victory. Now here's a bunch of Israelites. A lot of them old. A lot of babies. And they're walking. There's no way they can escape this army on horses and on chariots. I mean, how are they going to outrun this army? It's impossible. You can't do it. And so they're no match for this great army of Egypt. And think about this. For 400 years, what were they? Slaves. Slaves in Egypt. And they didn't know how to fight. They didn't have any weapons to fight this army with. But they had something that Pharaoh had forgotten about. They had God. They had God. And don't forget that you have God. No matter what it is you're going through, you have God on your side. He is for you, and he's not against you. He's for you and not against you. So, you know, Egypt, they had all the artillery, but they had God. Egypt had all the odds in their favor, or so they thought, but they had God. Right? The plans, the strategies. Egypt, the enemy, had all that, but they had God. In Romans 8:31, it says this to us. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for you, who can be against you? Who can be against you? If God is on your side, that's all you need. You don't need anything else except God on your side. So, back to the story, it looks like it's over for Israel. Pharaoh's army is closing the gap. The children of Israel, they could hear of the chariots coming, the clatter of the swords and the shields and the spears. And again, somebody in here might feel like that right now. Like the enemy's army is coming closer and closer, and you can hear them, you can see them coming closer and closer to you. But this is what the Bible says in verse 24 of Exodus 14. Now it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians. He troubled the army of the Egyptians. So what does that say? He's been looking down. He's been watching the enemy. He's been calculating his actions and his moves, and he's been observing the way the enemy has been treating you. And God takes that personal. Do you ever take it personal when your kids are being bullied or when someone's mistreating your kids? You take that personally? God takes it personally when people, when the enemy is mistreating his kids. He takes it personally. And that word trouble means to distract. God distracted, confused, disturbed the enemy, the Egyptians. So all of a sudden, there's dissension in the ranks, and they get confused, they're distracted, they're irritated, they become angry with each other. And then verse 25, the Bible says, and he, God, took off their chariot wheels so that they drove them with difficulty. It's pretty hard to drive a chariot with no wheels. You ever try to drive a car with no wheels? One time, this is kind of a funny story. So I had a partner when I was on the police department named Demetrius Mendoza, and he was a character. I just loved working with him. He always had a story every night, something that happened when he was in the military or whatever. So we're driving around, and at this particular time, we had burglaries in our division, in our area, taking place. And it was a crazy kind of, someone was breaking into delis and stealing the meat slicers. Apparently, you can get some money for those meat slicers. Or they wanted to open up their own deli somewhere. I don't know. And so we drive through all the delis. And, I mean, we lived in a heavily Jewish area. Or not lived, but I worked at the time. So there was a lot of delis to drive. And so we're driving through this alley behind a deli. You know, and it's probably 3 in the morning. And we're driving through. And I'm the passenger. Demetrius is driving. And he slams on his brakes. And I'm like, what's going on? And he's like, I think someone's broken into that deli over there. And so he jumps out of the car, and I jump out, and I'm looking. And he's like, he starts broadcasting, and he's like, we have a 459, which is burglary. 459 in progress. We need an air unit. We need a perimeter set up. And he's broadcasting, and I'm like, I'm looking at this car. This car is on blocks. There's no wheels on this car. And I'm like, Demetrius, I don't think this is a guy burglarizing. I think this is probably like a stolen car that was left here. And he looks at it, he's like, no. Code 4, which means everything's clear, no problem. The point of that is, it's hard to drive a car with no wheels. Okay? And that's what God does here. He took off their chariot wheels so that they drove them with difficulty. And the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. And that means all of a sudden, the Egyptians, if you don't have any wheels, you're losing your momentum. So the Egyptians had no momentum anymore, okay? And nothing is going their way anymore. Everything was now working. Everything that was working for them is now working against them, and nothing is turning out the way that they planned. And God is working in your situation right now. God is pulling off the wheels of your enemy, and he will pull them off. He's frustrating your enemies. I mean, things that they thought, the enemy thought he had you, God is about to spring a trap on him. Now, suddenly the Egyptians, they get a revelation, though. Look at the end of that verse. It says, they realize this isn't us. This isn't bad planning on our part. This isn't mismanagement. This is God doing this to us. God is fighting for Israel. And so they say, let us flee from the face of Israel. Now, we talk a lot about being good Christian soldiers and fighting the good fight of faith, but sometimes there's just, God just steps in and he says, let me handle this. Let me handle this. I'll take care of this one. Now, maybe you've been fighting the good fight of faith. You've been doing everything that you know how to do, but it doesn't seem like anything's changing. Let you know that God can step in, though. And he can take over, and he can fight your battle for you and give you the victory. That's what our God does. That's what he does. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 28, verse 7, the Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you 7 ways. Now, some of you would be happy just to see your enemies running away. But if your enemies just run away, guess what can happen? They can come back. And so I believe that God wants to give some of us permanent victories over enemies. Look at verse 13, back to Exodus 14. Verse 13, Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. You shall see no more forever. Now, some of us, we fought the same battle year after year, over and over. You've been around the same mountain again and again. You've walked through the same fire time and time again. And you've had some relief, but you never had complete victory over it. But I believe today could be the day of victory. Today could be the day of your victory because God is setting you up. And in a moment, the Egyptians realized that it was a trap. When those waters started to come in, they knew this was a bad idea. This was a trap. Look at verses 26 through 28. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians, on their chariots and on their horsemen." And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Then the waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. Not so much as one of them remained. And this was in the same place where the enemy had said, "I've got them. I'm going to finish them. I've got them right where I want them." And it's the same place that God dealt a death blow to the Egyptians. And so I believe God could be, might have been, maybe he's setting you up for a victory once and for all over something that you've been battling with for a long time. And sometimes, you know, we don't understand why we have to go through what we go through. And sometimes we wonder, why does the enemy, it seems like he has us surrounded. Why do they have the upper hand? But I just want to remind you, God is with you. He's on your side. And he's setting the enemy up so that you can have victory through him. Through him. Now, I don't think God is just wanting to pull you out of the fire today or deliver you from the lions or just give you temporary relief or just make your enemies run away. For some of you, I believe God wants to give you total victory today. And we talked about the first key, which is don't give up. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Don't give up. Don't give up. Pharaoh, with all the army, all the Egyptian army, with all the military might, the nation that dominated and intimidated the Israelites for 400 years, the nation that held them in bondage, the nation that made their lives miserable, where were they now? Dead at the bottom of the Red Sea. I'm going to ask Sean and the worship team to come up. Because this brings me into the second key of victory. First is don't give up. No matter what it is you're going through, no matter how difficult it seems, don't give up. And here's the second key. Praise him. No matter what you're in, keep praising him. The enemy hates it when you praise God when you're in the midst of some kind of calamity, some kind of storm. He really doesn't. He wants you to complain and grumble and accuse God. So when you start praising him, it's like, I wish I had a chalkboard right here. It's like the, you know, when you grate your fingers or when you take like a metal fork and you do that on the plate, you like doing that. Why didn't I bring these props with me? That would have been great. It was a setup. God can fight your battle for you. But all he needs from you is to praise him while he works. Worship him while he works on your behalf. And while you're praising him, he's looking at your enemy. And while you're praising him, he's troubling your enemy. And while you're praising, he's taking the wheels off of their chariots. And while you're praising him, he's turning the Red Sea loose on your enemies. He's drowning your enemies as you praise him. The enemy does not want you to praise him. Again, he wants you to use your mouth to complain about God, to complain about your situation. But we have to be people that remember, we're not going to give up, and we're not going to give up praising God. No matter what, we're not going to stop. So I don't know what your situation is this morning. And I know we had prayer earlier, but I'm going to ask everyone, if you can, to stand up now. Sean's going to lead us in a song of praise to God. And as you're praising the Lord, just in your mind, also picture him fighting this battle for you as you praise him. that maybe you're in financial debt, it's going down. Maybe you've got a sickness you've been battling. I don't know. Maybe habits or addictions that you've been struggling with, marriage problems going down, fear going down, oppression going down. Your enemy, whoever he is, whatever it is going down. People who've cursed you, who tried to destroy you, God is taking them down. And all you have to do is praise him. Praise him. So let's begin to praise him. Amen. Hallelujah.
Savior, say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Say, crimson stain, he washed it white as Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spot. Jesus paid it all, all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
I encourage you to come forward if you feel like that you want today to be your day of victory. I encourage you to step out in a step of faith and come up here and worship the Lord. It's where he's watching you, watching how you're responding in your situation, watching how you speak over the situation, watching how you treat the other people around you. And I believe if you want victory, he's just asking us to take a step of faith and trust in him, declaring we're not going to give up. We're going to keep going forward. We're going to stay united with our Lord and Savior. We're going to keep praising him. So I encourage you, if you've got something, a mountain that you've been struggling with, something, come forward and praise the Lord that can bring you the victory. Amen. Hallelujah.
And when before the throne I stand, die.